This is the Propelix podcast, a discussion on investing in all things startups. Startup investing is highly risky. Please listen carefully to the disclosures at the end of this podcast.
Hey, this is Swati, and this is the Propelix podcast. We have a very experienced angel with us today, who is our guest, Kiki Tidwell. Kiki has been a longtime investor in clean tech, among other things. She's also a Kauffman Fellow and has been an entrepreneur. She has a long background in investing, and I'm eager to start with her. Welcome, Kiki.
Thank you, Swati.
So let's get started. This, to get you oriented, this podcast is targeted at early angels, people mm-hmm. who are considering it or who are very early in the process. So tell us how you think about angel investing, how that fits into your portfolio as a whole.
Yes, I've thought about this a lot. I was one of the first angels ever accepted into the Kauffman Fellows Venture Capital Training Program as an angel investor. And I was mentored by Rob Wiltbank, mm-hmm. who has studied the returns in angel investing.
Oh, the famous one.
Right. Which yeah. angels actually make money.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are very specific things that an angel can do to tip the scales in mm-hmm. your favor. And that is to join an angel group mm-hmm. So that you're sharing information mm-hmm. and education mm-hmm. and due diligence. Mm-hmm. So that's invest in groups, invest in what you know. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a long career in, say, real estate, maybe there's some aspect of real mm-hmm. estate that you can invest in that pertains to what you already know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And diversify in terms of place a lot of bets.
Yeah.
I think a problem that a lot of first-time angels, like I did, you know, you put too much money in the first couple companies, because you get so convicted and you don't realize that, you know, these companies can get hit from a lot of different directions, even if it's a really great idea and a great team. But you really want to have a portfolio of investments.
Mm-hmm.
And so how you would think about it in your overall net worth as a high net worth person is to just take a you know, maybe a small percentage of your portfolio, mm-hmm. say 10%,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to be your angel bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And you will invest that over a period of time through several different, mm-hmm. maybe 12 investments,
mm-hmm.
And not put all that money into the first thing that sounds good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this is something that we have also been emphasizing, and I'm glad to hear you share similar numbers. We had said you should set aside 5 to 10% of your net worth to invest in alternatives, and to diversify that over a minimum of 20 investments. So I'm glad that you are reinforcing that. Thank you for that. So let's talk about how you got started in angel investing. Can you recall the first deal that you invested in and how you heard about it? Tell me the story of that.
Well, I think a lot of people get started in angel investing before they even call it angel investing because they're tapped in a friends or family round.
Yeah, yeah.
And in my case, I was doing a lot of philanthropy and mm-hmm. investing in businesses that actually grew to help mm-hmm. the nonprofits that they were mm-hmm. supporting.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a friend from the Seattle area who introduced me to a group called Keretsu.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then I came down to Boise and I saw pitch meetings mm-hmm. and I saw these deals presented.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I was investing heavily in clean tech in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the first investments that I made was in a startup wind mm-hmm. farm company mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. Idaho, where they mm-hmm. had prospected all the wind sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote them a big check. Luckily, that was one of my positive exits. But I would, as well, I remember my first Keretsu investment was something I didn't know, but it sounded good. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky, actually, that the entrepreneur really performed and I got a positive exit off of that one eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But what was so interesting to me about that deal is that I think I put $5,000 into a follow-on round
yeah.
and that 5,000 return the whole return for me, you know? So there's all sorts of aspects of investing to know when do you follow on good money, or, you know, good money after bad, or more good money after good. So it becomes a lot of education that you can get. But basically, angel investing is investing in people. You know, is this person going to do what they say they're going to do? And do they have the skill sets and the team to execute, even if they have good intentions? And do they have enough capacity to attract a great team and lead them through those lean times?
So how do you judge that? That's a very controversial topic, because everyone has different opinions, right?
Right. I look for grittiness. I look for that entrepreneur who will crawl through glass like a Bruce Willis in that movie, you know, and do whatever it takes to make something happen, or to pivot at the right time, or to dig deep and you know, find a different answer. And you know, I've been in pitch meetings where one team member's car didn't start, and so they didn't get to the meeting. And I'm like, there's taxis, there's Ubers, there's buses, and that I'm not investing in this company, you know?
So, so get to the meeting is a, is a good start.
You know, they were academics and they were doing a startup, and, you know, they didn't realize that you've got to really dig deep.
So we'll probably go into this later. Like, how do you determine grittiness? You know, because many people just meet for a few times. And then you make the investment. So it's very hard to judge. Or maybe, you know, it depends on your experience. But if there are any tips, you know, how you determine it, I'd love for you to share.
Every company is different when you evaluate them. You can go through a intense checklist of due diligence and say, did they do this and this and this? But I think it's really what the entrepreneurial team gives you in terms of their experience. Maybe they didn't get into the college they wanted to, and so they pivoted and were able to get a scholarship and make opportunities somewhere else. You know,
so stories of grit.
Those sort of histories.
Understood. Great. Well, that's great. So you actually started with an angel group, and that's another something that we've been telling our audience, you know, join an angel group, how to source deal flow. So where else do you get deal flow from?
Well, I belong to a couple angel groups, first Keiretsu, and then I found Northwest Energy Angels, which was clean tech only, investing up in Seattle. It's now called E8 Angels. And that was wonderful to me, because you can rely on other people's experience in different, you know, one person was from a utility and knew the utility mindset. One person had built a company in clean tech and sold it. And, you know, one person was an expert in storage. And you really can rely on more than just your experience, right? And I really believe in angel groups. I like the PropelX model because you have a community that's larger than one geographic boundary. You have all these experts all over the U.S. or the world who are weighing in and saying, well, you know, that battery storage company looks good, but there's been 10 like it before, and this is why they hit the wall, you know? And
thank you for that.
No, it's very, really important, you know.
Understood. I can also speak highly of E8 Angels. I think I'm very impressed.
They're great. And being in a physical room is good, but it takes a lot of bandwidth to get to meetings, you know, parking and this and that, right? So it's really nice to have more of a streamlined online opportunity now, where you get great deal flow. PropelX gets great deal flow from the labs and the universities. And, you know, I've looked at companies that have tried to build their technology without that support system of a national lab or a university, and they're up against such a uneven playing field. Yeah. You know, they just, yeah. the resources that these labs have and the universities is just amazing. Yeah. And you really want to get that top level deal flow.
Yeah. In fact, there was this research done by First Round Capital where they came out with this idea that people that are affiliated with some of the top universities have been the most successful entrepreneurs. And I think extrapolating from that, the reason is because of the network. It's not like the people inherently are some superstars. It's that they have this network behind them,
right.
resources. Yeah. So that's a valid point. I think that's great. So that's how you source your deal flow, which is online platforms as well as angel groups. And how do you evaluate? But before I go there, you've mentioned a few times you invest in clean tech. Why? Is it a passion of yours? Is it a life mission?
Yes, that is exactly what I've been doing, is putting my money where my mouth is, because I saw the first farmer in Idaho put up the first ever net metering wind turbine in Idaho. And I called him up in early 2000s and said, you know, how does this work for you? Yeah. And he started talking about, you know, continuing jobs for his kids on the farm and, you know, the tax credits and how this was going to save them, a small farmer, money. And, you know, and I just thought about all these small farm communities in Idaho that could seize this wave mm-hmm. in renewable energy. Mm-hmm. And so I've been passionate on two tracks, you know, talking about renewable energy, advocating for it, and then also investing in it, mm-hmm. you know, investing in wind farms mm-hmm. and solar inverter companies and flow battery mm-hmm. companies and, you know, all sorts of the technologies. So at the end of the day, not all of my angel investments are going to pay out mm-hmm. because they, you know, you get like two are going to be mm-hmm. hits, right, mm-hmm. out of 10. But I'm going to have help to move the wave forward mm-hmm. of clean technology. I'm going to be one, you know, drop of water in the ocean that helped move this wave mm-hmm. of technology forward so we can have these mm-hmm. solutions. And so that's a lot better at the end of the day than, you know, having wasted it on, you know, some miscellaneous app, you know, that didn't quite succeed. You know, at least I know that there was some carbon saved along the way or there was some technology that moved, you know.
And that's very interesting that you are so mission-driven. And it turns out a lot of the people who are angel investing are doing it for other than returns. So we had done actually a survey of all our angel mm-hmm. investors. And of course, the number one reason why the angel investors returns, it's high returns. But the other... And following very closely on the heels of it was that most people do it for reasons greater, to have an impact on the world that they live in.
Yes.
So, and you've chosen your field, which is clean tech, and I think it's really commendable. Thank you for that.
Oh, well, you know, it's wonderful to be associated with these teams that are doing the hard work, I think. One of my favorite companies is an entrepreneur out of the design school at Stanford mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. developed the pay-as-you-go technology that powers the cell phone tone, that powers the solar lights mm-hmm. for pennies a day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, millions in developing countries have light and power mm-hmm. for the first time mm-hmm. off of this technology that she created mm-hmm. in Stanford. And what a wonderful ride that is to be alongside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've gotten to raise their Series B from Emerson Collective mm-hmm. and, you know, they're firing on all cylinders and they're deploying and, you know, lives are being changed. Yeah. And I'm just a little piece of that. And how great and how wonderful that is to be a little piece of that. Mm.
That's great. So let's come to the evaluation. When you talked about the team a little bit, you talked about the technology, but when you look at a company, what are the kind of other aspects you evaluate it on? How do you make up your mind? How do you kind of do your diligence?
Well, as I mentioned, there, you know, there's a lot of things on the due diligence mm-hmm. checklist, and you learn that over time, the questions that you should have asked after you invest in a company that you learn that you should have asked, right? Because every company has the question that is the major question, you know. For every company, it's different. So there isn't one due diligence question that you can ask, but you really want to make sure that this company isn't going to run out of money before it can really start to get some traction. And you really want a passionate entrepreneur or entrepreneurial team that is going to, I guess, as I've mentioned, you know, crawl through glass, dig deep. And you want an idea, but you want more than just a good idea. I guess you want
traction.
Yes, traction. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, how are they getting to this? And one pitfall to be aware of is some entrepreneurs try to go in three directions at once, right? And they try to do, you know, refrigeration batteries, but they also want to do escalators or something, you know, efficient escalators. Yeah. And you're like, no, you just want to have one thing that drives you and you are going to execute it. There's this great book called Founders at Work. And it's a older stories now of entrepreneurs who succeeded, but they all had a very main similarity. They were passionate about their product. And they just wanted to make the best product and solve the customer's pain point. And they just, it drove them, you know, and it just drove them to develop that product and be in touch with the customer and keep iterating and keep developing something that was just awesome. And, you know, all the rest of it, they, you know,
focus.
It was extraneous. They really had a passion about building something, right?
That's cool. So let's talk about, you know, once you've invested, do you stay updated on the companies? How often? What is your expectation in terms of how often the companies should update you? Are there going to be these audited financials or are there going to be bullet points or somewhere in between? Tell our audience a little bit about what really happens once you've made the investment.
Well, I think the job of an angel is to do whatever they can do to help this company besides dollars, because our dollars are relatively little, right, in the scheme of things. And so can we make a connection for them personally that they may not already have in their Rolodex, right? Can we introduce them to a new business opportunity that they may not have had before? And so I only try to take on enough companies that I can help, right? So there, but that's my personal style because I am make myself available to do whatever the company needs. If the company is fine and they don't want my help, then great, you know, go ahead. But let me know how I can help. Unfortunately, a lot of startup companies, they go silent on their investors until they need more money. And if they had kept updating their investors and said, well, that was a win. Oh, well, that was not the direction we should go in. We found out before they need the money. Because if you keep involved in the storyline of a company, you're much more likely to say, oh, here's the next check.
Understood. So people should keep them up. Keep their investors updated. Understood. And tell us about exits. So give us some stories of some of the exits that you've had or not missed. Have you had positive returns? Not so much. What's your experience with that?
Yes, I have had exits. And, you know, my little angel track record is better than some of the venture capital funds that I've been in, you know.
Why does that sound so familiar?
Well, you know, they're using bigger dollars to really shoot for the fences. I see that my job as an angel investor is more to help companies get to the next fundraising stage. And I really wish them well. But there's a lot of things that can happen after an angel invests that are way beyond your control. You know, you can spend a gazillion hours with attorneys on the best term sheet and work it all out. And then more money comes in after you and wipes that whole thing out, right?
Yeah.
So you're really investing in the entrepreneur who's going to stick with you and give you the good, you know, a seat at the table in the next couple rounds.
And did you have to review these term sheets even at the time of exit? Because I've heard these stories where people didn't get, or the conversions didn't happen at the predetermined, you know, valuations and so on, or people didn't actually get the payout that they anticipated because whoever the buyer was, they negotiated terms which were not favorable and so on.
Right. There are a lot of onerous terms that can get thrown in there, you know, and liquidation preferences and all sorts of management fees that get stacked in at exits.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're really counting on the integrity of the entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And I say the only lever that an angel has is before you write the check. You know,
that's it.
After you've written that check, you really have no influence. So you really have to pick your entrepreneurs well for their integrity and how you think they're going to treat you. Right.
Yeah. Understood. Well, okay. So that's really helpful. I mean, that's been a great conversation. You walked us through how you select deals, you know, how you evaluate them, what you invest in and why you invest. I think those are all very important. So let's wrap up for today. We've had you talk for quite a bit. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Propelix is a funding platform, not a broker-dealer. Securities are offered through Hubble Investments, member FINRA SIPC, and an affiliate of Propelix. Private investments are highly illiquid and risky and are not suitable for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. You should speak with your financial advisor, accountant, and/or attorney when evaluating private offerings. Neither Propelix nor Hubble Investments makes any recommendations or provides advice about investments. Additional information and disclosures can be found on our website, propelix.com.